Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Great day in the morning. I usually go for the well howdy intro, but well howdy is a little too close to yee-hawdy. My God, if this is how the rest of 2016 is going to go, I better lay in a supply of the damn Thorazine darts in a straight up hurry. It is the fourth day of January 2016. This is the first actual broadcast of the horn for the year 2016 and for the month of January. I was, of course, on the air on the night of January 1st, but that was over in Malloy land, and that was from 9 to midnight. I hope you all enjoyed that as much as I did. But now we're back home, and we're operating on a little more of the whole freeform thing, and so we'll string some ideas together and see where they take us, that sort of thing. Being the first program of the month, of course, I should remind you that this being a listener-supported program, yes, Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge is on the table. And that means that there's $200 out there waiting to double the next $200 that come in during the program. Your 5 becomes 10, your 10, 20, your 20, 40, your 50 becomes 100, your 100 becomes 2, and if somebody out there is running around with 200 bucks they're not doing anything with in their pocket, well, it'll become 4, courtesy of Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge, which is the first financial contributory initiative of every month, and we thank Shirley for being there month in and month out. Mighty special, Shirley. Thank you. Thank you very kindly. So, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. We'll get that part taken care of. You are welcome to jump into the Horn chat room if you wish. Jeremy in Vermont letting me know loud and clear on TuneIn. Happy New Year. Enjoy the Malloy cast. Thanks, Jeremy. And thanks for letting me know that we are reaching, as it were. Let's see here. Yeah. Just pop it. I'm in the chat room. Good evening to Jeremy in Vermont and Jug of Punch, Texas Tea, and Trey, all capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable chat room moderator Sparky. And we may be, you know, a little busy this evening. We may get going, and I hate for one issue to dominate and completely take over a given program. I prefer to hit a variety of news stories. But Great Jumpin' Moroni, which I think we pronounce Moroni because it's otherwise it's Morani. We've never had a Moroni Moran Monday before, but this is Moran Monday. Oh, sweet Jesus, this is Moran Monday. And yes, we're not gonna. You know, the line I run on the lead into Moran Monday, the intro, is, of course, from Blazing Saddles. And you'll hear it in a minute. But there's a line that I clipped out of it because it just seemed superfluous. The common clay of the new West. Yes, yes. But it is, it's Moran Monday. And, oh, dear God, let's... Let's light this bottle rocket, shall we?
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Hurry, 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 step right up. You will not believe your ears. It's Moran Monday on the Horn. Yes, indeed, right here behind this thin cybernetic veil of canvas, as well as in the Moran Monday adjunct over in the bird sanctuary, you will hear the likes of Morans of which you can scarcely imagine. Yes, indeed, we do have an annex this evening, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, kiddies and cousins. We do. Take your binoculars over there to the bird sanctuary, and you'll spot them right away, even though they're wearing camouflage. They're Morans, so they're wearing green, brown, tan camouflage in the middle of a field of snow. It's not like they didn't tell you they were Morans to begin with. But here it is, the common clay of the New West, Moran Monday edition for the fourth day of January 2016. We've got them all, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, kiddies and cousins. We do. We've got your birthers, deathers, tenthers, baggers, booger eaters. Oh, we've got libertarians and constitutionalists and unwinders. And dear God Almighty, we haven't had a Moran Monday like this in a very long time, and we may not have another one, at least until, the guys in the bird sanctuary run out of snacks. Yes, I said snacks. They put out an urgent call for snacks early on. These freaks, these booger eaters, these people sitting around in a federal bird sanctuary picking their teeth with their own toenail clippings. Oh my God. Oh my, oh my, oh my. It is Moran Monday on the Horn. And yes, for less than 17 cents per hour of programming for every $10 a month subscriber, you get the very best in Moran goodness every Monday on the Horn. We do advise people wandering into the Moran Monday tent here just off the Midway to keep their hands well about their wallets, children, small animals, purses, European messenger bags, as the Morans can get grabby. Head for the hills, not the bird sanctuary, or you'll be up to your armpits in Morans. Oh. So, it really is a special Moran Monday. And, I just had a bit of sad news. I didn't know this. Someone that I've interacted with quite frequently, and a Malloy truth seeker, and a friend of mine on Facebook, known to many people on social media as Cassandra Troy, I'm being told by Jeremy in Vermont that she passed away last night. And that is indeed sad, and she will, in fact, be missed. Now, if anyone has any details, services, anything like that, please let me know and I'll share that along. But it is Moran Monday on the Horn. And the fact of the matter is, we have to continue. We have to do this. Where to begin? Well, so let's review just for the, everybody knows, right? But let's make sure we're all singing out of the same off the same page in the hymnal. After going to a little town in eastern Oregon to protest the imprisonment of some arsonists and poachers, a father-son team there. A gang of armed thugs, otherwise known as terrorists, now variously referred to as Vanilla ISIS, which I love,
Y'al-Qaeda, Yihadists, Yihadis, Yokel Haram, the Wahhabi lobby. Well, they went. There's a bird sanctuary established in 1908 during the presidency of Theodore Roosevelt. The Mal-Ur, or I heard it pronounced Mal-Ur, which it may be. Who knows? Wildlife refuge, bird sanctuary, preserve. Apparently agitates these people whose U.S. Constitution exists only in their own heads. And so, with their freedom protectors and apparently not near enough snacks, these heroic sons of liberty invaded and occupied in an act of war against the United States government, a bird sanctuary. Yeah, what do you see there, Roger? A tweeting bird? You were so supposed to see stars. Well, at some point, I hope we make them see stars. Because before we get too far into the program this evening, I need to make something clear. I have had, over the course of the years, a lot of training in nonviolence, training in de-escalation, moderation, facilitation. Had training in a lot of things that end in T-I-O-N. And I remain largely, almost 99.9% committed to the principles of nonviolence. But Mr. Gandhi and Dr. King and I are going to have to part ways this evening for a little bit. Because I've just kind of chucked them. I have. I admit it. I'm only human. And, well, where... And of course, what makes it worse is that among these denizens... These yihadis of the Hee-Haw Caliphate. Well, they're being led by a man named Ammon Bundy, and he brought his baby brother Ryan along with him, apparently. Ammon, which is one consonant short, as our buddy Gregory pointed out, which is just one consonant short of mammon, or one N superfluous of ammo. It's some kind of biblical name, I'm sure. Or maybe it comes from the Book of Mormon. Well, he's leading this armed occupation of an empty bird sanctuary in the dead of winter. I tell you what, These are some mighty brave constitutional warrior types. Yeah, they weren't going to. It's not like they were going to go and occupy a federal military facility. No. Maybe they could. NASA? No. How about a building in Washington, D.C.? No. Airport? No. Bird sanctuary, because nothing says taking our country back like occupying a bird sanctuary. Great God Almighty, what a bunch of gunned up yahoos. And see, that's the thing. We have to be a little careful with them because they've got enough, they've probably got enough guns for a small army there. Now, they don't have any 150 people inside the building. It's more like a dozen. And they have, of course, tried to restrict access to this public property that belongs to we, the people of the United States, trying to form that more perfect union. Robert in near Morgantown asking if the federal government sends a helicopter to Oregon to fly over the bird sanctuary, will it be One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest? Winter is ecumenin, in Ludacing, goddamn. Cuckoo, cuckoo, goddamn, goddamn. Yeah. First real taste of winter we've had here in almost level West by Cole, Virginia, Stan. We're expecting somewhere a low tonight, somewhere between 5 and 12. Not at all particularly well prepared for that here, but, well, I and my kerchief and Ma and her cap and her fuzzy socks and her pink camo base layer, right? We'll get through. It won't be pleasant, but we'll get through. But it's even colder, apparently, out there at Malheur, which I mentioned it was turned into a bird sanctuary in 1908, a wildlife refuge, more precisely. But guess what it had been before that? Because these goobers, Ammon Bundy and his baby brother and some other spazzes we'll get to in a moment. Listen, I'm gonna ditch all pretense at being decent about this. I hate them, I despise them. And if you have to turn it off and say, Bob, I'm shocked at you. I'm simply shocked. Well, so be it. But it's not like we've never droned an American citizen before. I can think of one in particular, a 16-year-old young man who had no choice but to be with his father, that we droned to death. And yet with this bunch out in Oregon, and we're going to have some historical inquiry into this as well. No, we've got to treat them with tender kid gloves because they want us to use violence. Well, goddamn. At this point in time, I feel like we're in that scene in the first Men in Black movie where Egger says, "You can have my guns when you pry them from my cold, dead finger." And the alien says, "Offer accepted." So it would not, I know, my street cred as a progressive and a liberal is just, you're flying right. Really? I mean, this one case, please, can I just give in to some of my baser instincts, my baser emotions in this instance? Please, pretty please, don't hate me. I mean, I just want the government to send a drone in for the full complement of two or four or however many they carry Hellfire missiles. And, you know, it can't be that expensive to rebuild the bird sanctuary. And I don't want to hurt the birds. And I don't know, haven't most of them flown away for the time being? I mean, it's dead of winter in Oregon, for Christ's sakes. Could we maybe precision drone strike these asshat yokel vanilla ISIS, yokel haram, hee-haw caliphate types into their constituent, but please, because it's, and I only say that because it's only going to get worse. Okay, I'm feeling better. Jeremy in Vermont says, I wouldn't mind an F-16 taking a run at these assholes a few seconds from its Vulcan cannon, and they'd piss themselves. Yeah. I think there's, because personally, I mean, remember, these are hero patriots of the right wing. And I get the sense that they would probably wet themselves if somebody flew a Radio Shack drone over, you know, with the four little blades. You know, it's got a battery on. It's good for about 5 minutes. Just fly it over two or three times, and they'd be out shooting at it in no time flat. Ugh, not like drone. But I guess we're just gonna have to deal with this failing, this personal failing of mine. Cause I do. Oh, how nice! Well, Sparky letting me know they have F-15s at Klamath Falls. Do they now? Yeah, but you know what? By the time they got airborne, they'd probably be over Boise. I'm telling you, drones are the way to go. Hey, Steve in New York. Oh, dearest Bob, these are white people. We don't drone white people. I know, we don't even call them terrorists. Not even a little bit. Hey, even if they are. Hey, what did... I got it right here. The thing is, this story has been spawning instances of morality it becomes breathtaking. So when this whole story began to develop on Saturday evening, the ABC News Action Team live coverage eyewitness on the spot bunch put out a tweet. Mm-hmm. Now, before, and maybe you've seen it already. Before I tell you about the tweet, just try to imagine yourself into a world in which a dozen or so black folks with guns took over a federal facility of any sort, even a bird sanctuary. You think we'd be worrying about the birds like I am? You think those Hellfire missiles wouldn't have already been fired? And God knows, imagine for a moment that those were really scary Muslims. Shit, they wouldn't have gotten the door closed behind them before we daisy-cuttered or precision-bombed them or gone in with a tank or 20. But once again, we're going to mollycoddle another member of the goddamn Bundy family and treat them with kid gloves because they've got guns. This is a small-scale version of U.S. foreign policy. A lot of countries have figured out along the way that about the only way you've got to make sure that the U.S. never screws with you is to have a nuclear weapon. Witness Pakistan, witness North Korea, witness maybe why Iran might want their own nuclear device as a deterrent. Oh, this is the same thing writ much smaller. Now, if you are, because I've seen it done, if you are some peaceful protester who just wants to do a sit-in or maybe a die-in in front of the White House, well, they will come and they will put the zip ties on you and they will haul your dead ass off to the Capitol Police jail over across the river and leave you to figure out a way to get back because, I mean, they put it in the middle of nowhere. If you've got a gun, though, and you occupy, do you remember the Occupy students at what, UC Davis, and that sadistic cop who walked up and down the line just point blank hosing young people down with pepper spray? Remember that? Remember the beatings and the gassings and the pepper sprayings and the tasings? In Zuccotti Park with the Occupy movement, and there wasn't a gun nowhere to be found. These people have guns, so they get treated with kid gloves. And they say they're on a suicide mission. They would appreciate it. They would appreciate it if people would send snacks. And they've got some sort of a donation page set up. And there are a lot of people who would like to be there, but are unable. One of the great moments of comedy gold to arise out of this is someone who posted over at the Bundy Ranch Facebook page under the name Daniel Brewer. $300. It's a shame. The federal government can't get my disability straight. $300, and I and my sons could be there shoulder to shoulder. My heart tells me to get there. I simply can't find the gas money. I'm so sorry. I know I can make a difference. My prayers are with you. I feel so bad. It's money keeps me from doing what my heart tells me is right. If they want blood, make sure it's theirs, my brothers and sisters. Ain't gonna be mine. I ain't leaving the Barca lounger in the basement. Damn. Please, Lord, find me a way to help these people. In Jesus' name, I'm ready once again. I'm yours, Lord. Send me. Amen. Oh, really? Really? That's a guy who wants to be up at the occupation of the bird sanctuary with all the patriots, but he couldn't get there because his government check isn't big enough to suit him. Oh, really? He's part of a group of people who complain about the tyrannical government jackbooted thug with their jackboots down on our necks with their jackbooting us and oppressing us with their government Kenyan Muslim tyranny with their jackboots on our neck right there next to that Confederate flag tattoo we got and the tattoo that says only God can judge me. But anyway, ABC News got a tweet out about all of this on Saturday evening. Peaceful protest followed by Oregon wildlife refuge action. Well, I mean, that sounds like maybe they were there for the Boyds. The tweeting Boyds. Mm-hmm. No. We're talking about the same terrorists. Yeah. Peaceful protest followed by Oregon wildlife refuge action. Yes. Oh, God. Thank you, Carol Baker, Queen of the Minions, telling me, fuck 'em, I forgive you. Oh, that was UC Berkeley? I thought it was UC Davis. Yeah, and the cop got over $160,000 because we gave him PTSD for mocking his sorry ass. Oh, God, please. But this is a Vidalia onion here. I mean, this is one of them. No, this is a Walla Walla sweet is what this is. It's got layer after layer after layer after layer. One of which is the fact that I never got around to mentioning what this land was doing before it got bird sanctuaried in 1908. Once upon a time, the Northern Paiute people, who had been living in that neck of the woods for, 10,000 years or so, were reserved about 1.5 million acres of land. Well, now they live on about 700 acres. And part of that 1.5 million acres was it was called the Malheur, or Malheur, M-A-L-H-E-U-R, I mean Malheur in French, and that's pretty obviously French. They were the Malheur Northern Paiute people. And they got their land taken away from them. So these dumbasses who want to, and I don't even know what this word means, unwind government ownership of land in the name of we the people. And as a member of we the people, I really do wish the government would go ahead and eject their sorry asses. It all started, but yes, this is Indian land. If anybody's going to get the land back, it should be the Northern Paiute people, which would grieve me not one iota. Because you know what? I'll bet the Northern Paiute people would be pretty good about the wildlife living on that land. And the people who want to wrest it from the tyrannical government control, you know what they want to do with the land? They want to log it. And then they want to drill on it. And they want to mine it. And turn it into the vile, nasty, stinking, foul little hellscape. Jesus, I hate teabaggers. I do. I try not to have room in my heart. But over the week, I've realized it's just, you know, no. I am not Superman. I do. I hate them. I despise them. I wouldn't pee in their goddamn mouths if their fucking guts were on fire. I loathe them. I just do. With their guns and their the Constitution. You ever read it, bub? Well, I mean, there's not that many words in there that I recognize. But I know it says what I want it to because Jeebus. And here's the fun part. The arsonists who started all of this, it gets a little complicated. So they went out poaching deer, apparently. The Hammonds did. And apparently they're being persecuted, and they're martyrs to the right wing militia or whatever. But they went out poaching deer, and they poached the hell out of a bunch of deer on federal land, which is a crime. And then, in order to cover up the effects or the evidence of their crime, they started a fire on federal lands, for which they got busted. This all took place back in like 2001. And thanks to the mandatory minimum sentencing laws of the 1990s. Hi, Bill. Hi, Hill. Well, they were going to go up the river for a while on a mandatory minimum. But defense counsel for the Hammonds argued to the trial judge that the mandatory minimum was unduly harsh and unconstitutional, and the trial judge agreed. Okay? And so they proceeded, and then that ruling got appealed, and the mandatory minimum was actually upheld, and the case was remanded to the trial court for sentencing in accordance with the mandatory minimums, which were determined to be constitutional. And so the judge had to bring the Hammonds back and resentence them with credit for time served to the mandatory minimum, which they so richly goddamn deserved for being arsonists and poachers. In other words, thieves. Well, this is what got Ammon, son of Cloven, got his maiden forms in a bunch. And brother Ryan as well. I guess they'd just run out of cool Bible-y names by the time they got to Ryan. But, and you know, I should know. I mean, never mind. Got some pretty goofy biblical names in the background of my family. Hi, Ozias. Howdy, LaViggy. Loammy. Mm-hmm. But anyway. So, insofar as these birther, bagger, bircher, deather, militia, weirdo, booger eaters have no functional understanding of the way the law operates, they convinced themselves that some manifest injustice was being done to the Hammonds, the arsonists. Let's not forget that part. You can't really put too fine a point on it. The people who deliberately set fires to things, you know, Snopeses, barn burners. But they convinced themselves in those in amongst those thin gray settlings that slosh around between their ears and pass for brains, that somehow the Hammonds were being persecuted for not a selling of their land to the jackbooted tyrannical thug government. when in fact it was pretty much just a procedural thing. Courts have to do these things. When cases get remanded to courts, courts have to deal with the remand within the terms of the ruling of the court above. And so that's what they came to Burns, Oregon, on Saturday to protest. The fact that a couple of arsonists were being sent up for 5 years. You know, in the federal system, which is by far and away a lot nicer rap than, say, if they had been sent to the state pen and wherever that is in Oregon. Federal time is always greatly to be desired over state time, I'm told by, well, I mean, for all I know, they went down to L.A. to turn themselves in to be processed into some club fed somewhere, most likely. So that's the backgrounder. And come last Saturday, they marched up and down and carried flags and talked about the Constitution and patriotism and loving country, America, the greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever, indivisible, under God. Amen. And then when they were done, a handful of them, including Ammosexual Bundy, I'm sure that's what Ammon's short for, and his brother, and a couple of other spazzes we will meet momentarily, it went into an empty bird sanctuary, broke in. They claimed they found a set of keys. You know, that's just like the guy who gets caught coming out of the alley. Hey, son, what are you doing with that TV set? Guy gave it to me. Yeah, did he now? Yeah, come with me. No, they found a set of keys. But you know what? Even if you've got keys, if you don't have the right to be there, using the key to unlock the door is still breaking and entering. Mm-hmm. Oh, God. After which point in time, they declared that they had occupied the federal bird sanctuary. Because freedom.
Wolverines! Chirp.
And immediately put out their call for snacks. They really did. They called for people to send snacks. I agree. Brother Deacon Asa offering the following. At the next pageant, they ought to ask Tail Gunner Ted if he'd carpet bomb these armed terrorists that have a federal building under siege. Well, they're not terrorists. Asa, those aren't terrorists. Those are potential Cruz voters. That's what those are. And they're all the right wing pageant members are pretty much still remaining silent. Mm-hmm. And you can't. It's darn difficult to find a mention, much in the way of a mention of this over on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. Yeah, and questions just proliferate around this story. Ray asking, where's the National Guard? Where are the cops in fear for their lives? Screw that. Where are the snipers from Ferguson? Where are the flashbang grenades? Where's the kaboom? Where's the earth-shattering kaboom? Meanwhile, Jack in Shreveport says, subject line, Bundy standoff thing. Son of a bitch! Do you mean to tell me that the authorities are going to let people bring the Yalkaidas food? And what the is legal about taking donations to aid and abet something illegal? Oh, yeah, do they have running water and a freaking toilet? Yeah, well, I don't know if city sewer runs out there, but I imagine they got something in the way of a septic system. Don't know about the running water part. Jack Bundy thing too. Okay, I admit this is kind of out there, and I don't know all of the details. So a federal building, as meager as it may be, has been taken, and the Yalcatas' cause is about protesting penalties for the burning of forest land, which I guess is public. Yes, it is. Wouldn't it be not too out there to make the connection of another taking of a building and starting fires to the event known as Kent State? There are protesters outside in both the current and the historical events, so that's the same. Yet we know what happened at Kent State, which was about way more than about winning, whining and paying grazing fees and complaining about sentencing. Son of a bitch, is that analogy too far out there? I don't think it's too far out there at all, Jack. Okay, thank you. Marty clarifying, it was not UC Berkeley. It was UC Davis. The campus donut eater's name in question was John Pikel, Pickle, P-I-K-L-E. And I thought it was Cal Davis. Ron in Raleigh says, earlier today on Sam Cedar's podcast, he ran a clip of these Pillocks during their road trip to the sanctuary. They seem to have a bone to pick with that Kenyan Muslim in the White House. They, according to their rhetoric, want to have sex with President Not Sure, considering the numbers of times they said fuck Obama. I had a difficult time understanding exactly what the fuck they want, except these are the dumbest sons of bitches I've ever had the displeasure of hearing. I'd drone their asses, too. You know, I'm getting a lot less pushback on this than I thought I would. Robert wants to know, what snacks do I send? Corn nuts, maybe? I don't know. The best suggestion I saw was the person who said, great, and went to the post and said, great, I'll take a shit in a Ziploc bag and get it right in the mail to you. And yes, Carol Baker, people were let in to bring food. Well, I mean, it's not so much even let in. Let's get a picture of the scene on the ground. It ain't about let in. There's no cops there. There's no National Guard there. There ain't a Cub Scout packet within miles. Nothing. Oregon State Police, nowhere near. They've set up a combined command center with the FBI back in Burns, but that ain't at the wildlife set. But they're keeping a close eye on the situation. No, they're not. They're affording these goddamned insurrectionist, treasonous traitors the respect that one would assume due to that would be due to a law-abiding citizen. This is treason. This is taking up arms against we, the people of the United States. This is a little low rent, low IQ, pissant chaise rebellion. This is a whiskey rebellion without the whiskey. And this goes back to something I've said in the past, time and time and time again, and maybe I'm wrong. But when you treat these punks this way, you embolden them further. Do you suppose this would be going on if one of those people who was putting crosshairs on federal agents back at Bundyville, do you suppose if he had gotten dead, they would have been quite so eager to do this? Because I think they're a bunch of chicken shits, personally. I don't think a one of them has the courage it takes to walk down an alley in the dark. But they're all saying stuff like, well, make no mistake, we came here to die. Offer accepted. Todd pointing out, they asked for Doritos, but no nacho cheese flavor. They prefer ranch flavor for obvious reasons. Absolutely. A note coming in from Ron. He says, loud and clear in the damn near frozen north. It was 2 degrees Fahrenheit this morning. Windy and with a fair portion of the recent 12 inches of snow blowing around smartly. But enough about my trip to the office this morning. I would send them bags and bags of food and snacks laced with various condiments laced with mild salmonella, some Ex-Lax laced desserts, and several bottles of skunky wine. But that's just me. Your mileage may vary. The YMMV took me a minute, Ron, but yeah, that would be fun. That could be, yes, absolutely. But we're gonna mollycoddle these traitors, and that means the next time the traitors will be a little more bold. And the time after, and there will be a next time, and there will be a time after that. The counter argument being offered. To wit, that we can't use disproportionate amounts of force because that's what they want. They want a confrontation. There's 12 of them. This ain't the Alamo. Go in, arrest the dumb bastards, tase them a little bit, hose them down with some pepper spray, put the zip ties on them, and march and frog march them the fuck out. Because God knows you can be killed in New York City if your skin is brown and they think you're selling Lucy's. You can be shot dead in Ferguson, Missouri if your skin is brown and some paranoid cop has decided that you're a thug. You can be shot in the back in North Charleston, South Carolina, and the cop will get get his bail reduced to 500 grand. You can get blown away within 2 seconds of arrival on the scene by the 5-0 if you're a 12-year-old playing with a toy gun. And God knows if you're Muslim, we drone first and ask questions later. And see, it's not just the Bundy boobies who are there. Guess who else? Alleged Marine John Ritzheimer is there. And on Saturday, he posted his. And you know, gone are the days when your suicide notes were actually written on paper. Of course, then again, I imagine that would involve writing things, and that's probably not John Ritzheimer's goddamn strong suit. Art of word knowing and all of that. So instead, the dipshit gets in his car, points at his phone at himself, and starts talking. Get the hockey puck.
It's going to be one of the tougher videos I've had to make. I'm going to start off with my family. I love you. My beautiful wife. I know I never said it enough. I'm so proud of the mother you've become.
Jesus, and I thought I had a problem with pauses.
I'm so proud of you. You're such a good mom to our girls. My daughters, Maddie and Lily, I love you so much. You're only 3 and 5 now, and you have no idea
how embarrassed you're gonna be when you grow up.
I Your daddy swore an oath. He swore an oath to protect and defend the Constitution.
Yeah, Daddy did that back when he was allegedly a Marine. He's not a Marine anymore. Just pointing that out. Carol, by the way, says, nah, kale. Nothing but kale for them. Truckloads of kale. Yum, yum. And Dustin says, Bob, dear Bob, you guys are being very creative about working your way around the Bob gimmick infringement problem. Bob, dear Bob, hellfire missiles are overkill. If you want to run these people out of if you poison the water supply, and if boiling doesn't prevent infection, maybe we can run them out sooner if they can't survive on the land. This is for effect. I want the drones and the hellfire missiles for effect. I'm just saying. But he's got his little pocket constitution there with a picture of some guy in a wig. And he's just so proud.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Yeah, that's still your oath back when you were in the military, dipshit.
And that's why he couldn't be with you on Christmas.
Christmas? He's been blowing them off since Christmas? Okay.
That's why I can't be with you on New Year's. I miss you so much, and you need to be good for your mom. The oppression and the tyranny that's taken place here in Oregon?
You know, by prosecuting arsonists! Just saying.
We know it's taken place all across the U.S. The Bundy Ranch was prime example.
Bird sanctuaries everywhere. Our rights are under attack!
And we, the people, need to take a stand.
This is why I get really pissed off. These, these.
You dick!
Yes! Go on and on and on about the Constitution, and they don't know the first God blessed thing about it. If they've got some sort of paranoid fantasy, that's right there in the Constitution. Ain't nothing in the Constitution about government having no bird sanctuaries. It's unconstitutional. 14 anchor babies.
The Hammond family, they are not terrorists.
No, they're arsonists, dumbass. And they're not just arsonists. They're arsonists who admit they're arsonists. They're poachers who admit they're poachers. Goddamn, their lawyer put out a statement as of yesterday saying, listen, folks, we got nothing to do with this. We don't agree with these people. These people are a bunch of goobers. They're a bunch of freaks. And our guys are going to turn themselves in to go to prison, okay? Thanks.
Even the judge was sick to their stomach over the thing. Tried to give them a sentence of 3 months and 1 year. And this oppressive, tyrannical government.
Anybody want to guess? I admit I haven't done the research. Anybody want to guess who the oppressive, tyrannical government appellate court judge was who struck down the ruling that the mandatory minimums were unconstitutional. Because, see, the odds are better than 2-1, I'd say, that this is either a Reagan or a Bush or a Bush 2 appointee. I'm just saying. Tyrannical, you know.
Who really has no jurisdiction right here?
Yeah, he does. It's right there in that Constitution you can't read, Cletus.
This is Harney County's land.
No, it isn't.
The Hammonds were not tried by a jury of their peers. There's an indictment with...
Wait. They weren't tried by a jury of their peers? Then how do we defend... What? Does it have to be other arsonist poachers? Because there's a body of constitutional law that says no. And that's where these ignorami get into trouble. Because they think that the only thing to the Constitution is the Constitution itself. They neglect to realize that over the course of 230 some odd years, that just about every word in that Constitution has been interpreted by the courts, which are set up under Article 3 of the Constitution, so there's really not much to bitch about there either. God damn, they're stupid.
No signatures on it. This is a cruel and unusual punishment.
But really? 5 years in club fed for poaching and killing a bunch of deer and setting fire to the land to cover up your crime is cruel and unusual. They're not crucifying him, dipshit.
But this federal government comes in here and says, no, that's not enough. They need to do a minimum of 5 years. So after they did their time,
notice that white boy here is getting upset about a couple other white guys doing 5 years in club fed. He's nowhere to be found on mandatory minimum sentences for, you know, drug crimes. And he's gone around the country. John Ritzheimer is the same guy who tries to provoke firefights at mosques. This is that guy. This is who the patriots are running around with. This guy calls himself a 3%er after the fact that around 3%, only about 3% of the people in the colonies participated in the American Revolution. This guy thinks he is the multi-generational heir to Samuel Adams and John Hancock and that bunch, when he probably doesn't have enough brain power to use a quill pen, for Christ's sakes. You ever try to use it? It ain't easy. You know, one of the charges was that they put firefighters' lives in danger, which the Hammonds did by starting that blaze, which rendered the whole area in question unusable, the federal land that belongs to we the people, unusable for 2 years. This isn't some principled protest. This was just plain old-fashioned, garden-variety, common criminal thuggery. Not black kid laying dead in the street, alleged thuggery, real thuggery. But privileged boy here, well, he can't discern the difference. And by the way, they're using aliases out at the Alamo Bird Sanctuary. One person identified himself to a journalist as Fluffy Bunny. Another one, though, referred to himself as Captain Moroni. Captain Morani. Yeah. And that apparently is a story out of the Book of Mormon about what happened when the leapfrogs took on the nematodes and a young man tore up his coat and wrote something stupid on it, and it became his flag, you know, kind of ISIS-like, and this is the Bundy's destiny to be wait a minute, you need reverb for this. Captain Moroni! Captain Moron! Precisely. See, I'm around the bend, and you guys, I'm just bringing you with me. Ron in the only recently frozen north says, Bobby et al., comparing this dipstick to a constitutional scholar is like comparing a good artisan chocolate to a counterfeit Snickers bar. I was going to say to a piece of X-Lax, but, you know, I get the idea. Brother Deacon Asa says, Marine my left foot. He sounds like a whiny little pansy-ass biatch. Which he probably is.
I mean, they were set out with their families. They're out living their lives thinking it's all over with. And now they're being ordered to come back and finish out up to 5 years. And it's disgusting.
Yeah, well, next time, don't commit arson on federal lands. This...
Dwight, he's so old, he may die in there. And I'm hoping he sees this video. Because it's real simple, Dwight. Do you want to die in prison, labeled as a terrorist by these oppressors? Or do you want to die out here with us as a free man?
Well, he's chosen to go to prison, where he will have the best best federally available health care that can be provided to federal inmates of the Federal Department of Corrections, as opposed to shitting in a bucket in the middle of winter in some godforsaken corner of Oregon and hanging out with a bunch of people who are bitching about not having enough snacks.
I want to die a free man.
And, well, I'm okay if you do that. Son, put the muzzle of the gun in your mouth, click the safety off, and squeeze. Paint yourself blue, like Mel Gibson in Braveheart, if it makes you feel any better. Where are you going? I'm going to pick a fight. I mean, you can lay there and holler, freedom, yeah, all you want. Hell, yeah, if it was me, I'd be more than happy to oblige you by sending a helicopter gunship so you could stand there with your AK-47 shooting, screaming, Wolverines! Sure. Oh, but we're going to get another lesson about his oath.
It is not just to protect and defend it against all enemies, foreign and domestic, when it's convenient for you, or as long as that defense doesn't include death.
Yeah, dumbass, okay? You keep talking about your oath, but you don't know anything about what's in it. You got nothing on the substance. Ron pointing out, the best weapon we can bring to bear against these assholes and the guy who didn't have $300 to travel to join them is humor and ridicule. Their egos won't be able to deal with the embarrassment. I'm trying, Ron. I'm trying.
It's not how our independence was won.
Oh, we didn't have a... Oh, where's Dr. Bill when I need him? Because, see, what you have here... And Dr. Bill really would be good to have in this conversation right now. You're not out there, are you, Dr. Bill? He has fetishized, he has totemized the Constitution. The Constitution is not a document that was written by men. It has become some sort of orthodox religious dogma for him. Like the stone tablets handed down on Sinai to Moses. He doesn't need, you see, to know what's in the Constitution. He just needs to worship it. And that in itself is scary.
Very last sentence on the Declaration of Independence. This is what our founding
fathers
said.
Which is not the Constitution.
This is what they believed in, and this is what they set forth for us. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor.
Oh, come on, fuckwit. Just yell Wolverines once, please. But dumbass here thinks that the Declaration of Independence is part of the Constitution. That is how stupid these goddamn fool, right-wing, oath-keeper, patriot, militia bullshit artists are. Nothing else?
More than anything, I want to be with my family. I do not want to be up here having to deal with this.
No, you're a goddamn liar. If you wanted to be with your family, you would be with your family. But this is the part of the video that you're doing, and we can't see what your left hand's doing out of the screenshot, but I got a pretty good idea where it is, because that is what all of this is about. You want to be with your family? Be with your family, John Ritzheimer. But it's actually hard work out there providing for a family, day in and day out. And it can be kind of prosaic, and you feel like maybe you're not, no, he's got a higher calling. Maybe he can be president.
But if you do not spearhead this and take a stand, it's going to set a new precedent across the U.S.
No, dumbass. The convictions that happened were based on precedents that have been established for probably a couple of hundred years, dickhead. I mean, this guy has no relationship with reality. It turns him on to go out in the cold and play with guns and think that he's something he's not. He's just a schlub. He's just a schmuck. He's just an idiot. The best this guy is capable of is maybe a part-time job at Walmart. Apart from that, he's got nothing. And that doesn't, and stocking shelves at Wally World does not, there's no intersect point with his delusions of grandeur.
They get stronger and think they can continue to go around and bully we the people. But when we unite and you take that stand,
that stand? What stand? A tree stand?
There's no stopping us.
Yeah, there is. You're being stopped even now by your lack of snacks.
This Hammond family has been so oppressed, they've even been threatened with harsher prison conditions if they get caught communicating with people like myself or Ammon Bundy, who spent hours and hours and hours begging and pleading with the sheriff, trying to educate them and empower them, letting them know this is the supreme law of the land, the damn Constitution that you swore an oath to protect and defend. a sheriff who is supposed to be here to protect and defend his people. He now has an outside entity coming in and oppressing his people, and he is not going to stand with them.
The only outside entity is you, shit for brains. And the guys from Idaho, and Montana, and Arizona, and Texas.
And this goes on and on and on. It's stupid, stupid, stupid. And the thing is, well, I think Haley said it in a tweet earlier. This could be a 6-hour program tonight. And by the way, those anti-government ranchers, they cashed over $4 million in taxpayer subsidies in 2014. But this is the kind of thing that you really do. You got to get all Barney Fife on. Nip it! You got to nip it in the bud. Because these guys are not the courageous patriots they portray themselves as. They're cut purses. They're footpads. They're highwaymen. They're thugs. But when they're confronted with a little bit of power, they shit themselves and run away. Now, what they're scared of, what the federal government is scared of, is that it will inspire another creepy little coward to go and do something nasty. Just like Waco and Ruby Ridge inspired Timothy McVeigh, and you wound up with little dead babies in the arms of firefighters after he blew up the Murrah Federal Building. That's what the government's scared of. I have one more suspicion. I think the federal government is concerned about how many Oath Keeper types are embedded inside various and sundry National Guards and maybe even the regular military. I suspect, and this is suspicion is all it is, I have nothing to point to, except for the times in which we live, and the insidious, viral, cancerous nature of sedition itself. I can't help wondering if the federal government itself wonders if they gave the order to fire, whether or not people would do so. You know, those people who took the oaths. That's kind of why I think a drone strike would be best. All that needs is one pimply-faced kid in a building somewhere with a joystick. But I'm sincere. I'm in earnest when I say that when sedition starts cropping up in your country, you better do something about it, or it will get out of hand in a hurry. Lottie pointing out in the chat room, well, Bob, since the military went on an active campaign to enlist skinheads, I'd guess that there are a lot of those folks in the military. It's hard to know. It's hard to say. So let's take a break. It's 1:15. And big thanks. Big thanks going out to Henry for getting us started this evening. We've only got $150 to go to match Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge. Thanks. Tim from L.A. is confused. He says, I thought these moronies were anti-government. Why then are they quoting the Constitution? The Constitution was written by big government officials, huh? Well, that's the thing. No, they fetishize the Constitution can be anything that they want it to be. It can have anything in it that they want to be there and have things not there that they don't like. But yeah, there is an inherent contradiction in that. They think that there's some sort of government that they can have that, and that the present government has somehow gone off the rails. Couple of notes coming in from the marvelously coherent Diane in Kansasstan. Today, Mike Cadell reported a couple of other things on Radio Free Kansas. The acres that were burned by the parties in question the first time included other ranchers' lands. As you said, the judge did not impose the federally mandated sentence the first time around, even though a federal firefighter had been injured and a lot of other citizens' land had been burned, too. As you know, the parties re-offended. When their supporters came into town, one of them announced to the local citizens at a meeting that if any of them accepted federal money, then they were the enemy. One elderly lady stood up and protested this assessment, given that she gets Social Security. Some others felt the same way, according to Mike Cadell, given that their paychecks come from the federal government. It seems that these are interlopers without local support or sympathy, and that's absolutely true. Even the Mormon Church has said, nope, sorry. And you know what? I'm glad they did. Because when members of, I mean, we all know, that we can call this the Muslim rule. Whenever a member of a religious sect does something bad, everybody in that religion has to apologize and declare that they're not real, fill in the name of the religion. And the Mormon Church has come pretty close to actually doing that. Mm-hmm. The Mormons put out a statement saying, church leaders strongly condemn the armed seizure of the facility and are deeply troubled by the reports that those who have seized the facility suggest that they are doing so based on scriptural principles. This armed occupation can in no way be justified on a scriptural basis. Now, that's a little bit of weaseling there on the part of the Mormon Church. Can't be justified on a scriptural basis, but maybe that means it can be justified on some other basis? Huh? Yeah. Yeah, you see how that works? Sure. Roger up in Oregon said, missed the start of the show today, but on today's topic, further thoughts on the Malheur event. Did someone already mention the goddess present in the arson component proximate to Burns, Oregon? It has an appeal for wannabe hero attention seekers. The John Ritzheimer character is either suffering from untreated PTSD, everything here seems as treacherous as over there, or has some deficit that he thinks will be removed if he can just find a way to be seen by others as a heroic figure. Mm-hmm. Jack in Shreveport asking regarding the clip I was playing. Does dumbass realize what comes with all that, with that military oath he's babbling about? It comes along with a freaking commander-in-chief called Barack Obama, dumbass. No, Jack. See, Barack Obama is a Muslim Kenyan usurper who wasn't born here and has never really been the president. You gotta get real down and dirty with just how these weirdos attempt to think. I know, Marty. I was the same way. Marty says I'm still waiting for the claim about precious bodily fluids, and I'm waiting for Ammon Bundy to come out with a microphone in front of him and start telling us something about the Negro. I like that, Robert. Robert in Australia says, did this guy vote for this oppressive government? Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. You see the humor in that, right? Ron in Raleigh says, consider, if you will, this is the quality of our voluntary military. These dimwits wouldn't know tyranny if it bit them on their pasty white asses. I keep saying white men will be the death of us. I'll modify that statement. Dumbass white men will be the death of us. The stupid is strong with these ones. Yes. So, yeah, break time. Let's take it, and hopefully we'll finish off Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge sometime in the next hour and 39 minutes or so. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid. And lawyers, guns, and checks mix. Yeah, it just doesn't have lawyers, guns, and Fritos. No. So it just doesn't have quite the same ring, but I'm glad y'all liked it. Ron said an inspired choice of music. I was just thinking of that song a few minutes ago. Meanwhile, Carol Baker said lawyers, guns, and Fritos. Perfect bumper. Lawyers, guns, and money. No snacks. And that's when I came up with lawyers, guns, and Fritos. Meanwhile, you know what? We really do have a good tactical component here in the Horn Family Community Congregation. Agnes pointing out under the subject line, flush them out. a few marijuana smoke bombs into the HVAC system and they'll be running to the nearest McD's. Head for the border, Taco Bell. No, that's Mexican. They can't. Yeah. Dude, I'm hungry. Yeah. Under the subject line, how we used to handle these situations, Todd sends the following. 30 years ago, Philadelphia police dropped a bomb on a black liberation group. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was May the 13th of 1985? 81. You remember MOVE? No, 1985, yeah. Remember MOVE? Yeah, Black Liberation Group. And the government moved in and tear gassed them, and some of the MOVE people fired a couple of rounds back. At which point, the police commissioner of the city of Philadelphia ordered a helicopter to drop a bomb on top of the row house. Yes, really. Mm-hmm. And that started a fire. The fire spread, burnt down 61 homes and left 250 people homeless. 11 people in the row house owned by MOVE died. That included 5 children. And that's not to say that that was the right response. But there were, you know, I would be remiss if I didn't point out, there ain't no kids out at the bird sanctuary. Just assholes. Light 'em up. And really, I don't like violence. I don't adhere to violent responses. I'm anti-war. But we have a history of seeing what happens when you let people commit treason with no consequences. And make no mistake that this is at the very least sedition, and it verges pretty quickly into straight up treason without a whole lot of skull sweat. Now, there are rules about how you prove treason. But ignoring this and letting people get away with it, especially these incredibly violent right-wing militia types, only encourages them to do it again. And I'm sort of hard pressed to figure out how giving these violent weirdo religionist white folks the kid glove treatment, how does that make anything any better? Maybe the angry Indian can help.
Well, I don't know if I can help, but I can certainly talk about this shit, because you and I have been talking about this pretty much since the first time I ever came on your show.
Well, it's kind of out there and hard, and it's kind of hard to avoid, isn't it? I mean, it's right in front of our faces. This didn't come as a surprise to me. Did it come as a surprise to you?
Oh, absolutely not. I've been writing about this. That was the whole point of Efforts for Fascism. You know, that was the whole thing. How can I explain this? We're watching fascism jump off in India. We're watching fascism jump off throughout, you know, the European elections. You have Marie Le Pen, who is moving way past her father, Marie, you know, Jean-Marie Le Pen, who, you know, they've gotten fascism on the ballot in Greece. Fascism is on the ballot and taking over the government in Ukraine. You have Jobbik in Hungary. You have the British movement and the EDL in Britain. You have, you know, small murmurings in Ireland. It's happening. Africa, for the most part, the majority of those states, and I'm including Zimbabwe, are in legitimacy. They're fascist states. They're fascist states. The Arab world, these are all fascist states, if not outright theocracies. And I only limit that in terms of Saudi Arabia, really, because they're really, you know, pumping the whole thing, really, of royal family. But for the most part, fascism has been accepted. It's made a resurgence. And, you know, the conditions that capitalism has created, and you don't have to be a communist to recognize that Marx was right. Capitalism is petering out. So when capitalism peters out in the country, the upper classes tend to move towards fascism because that is a way for them to maintain their material and status and what have you. And then you get suckers like John Ritzheimer who don't have a pot to piss in, you know, and most of the people who they're trying to get to support them in this, because, yeah, like you said, initially it was 150. It turns out to be 15 hardcore morons. Yeah, and, you know, and we're still wondering in the black community why they haven't lit these motherfuckers up yet. You know, but you know, they are going to get nothing out of what they're talking about.
And that's another issue, Angry. This is, and I want to be careful how I say this. This is teaching a lesson. It's not just white. It's white and gunned up. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to be get dealt with kid gloves, have lots of guns. Isn't that what's being taught here?
Well, it's being taught that if you're a white guy and you want to start copying, because this has been happening over a period of weeks. And like I said, I saw this years ago. I've been writing about this for years. You've been talking about this for years. Mike Malloy's been talking about this for years. Brad Block has hinted to it. But I deal with anti-fascism. That's my mainstay. And it's like, you know, you've been seeing this. The militias, the oath keepers, they've been ratcheting up, you know, basically taking black people and Native American struggles and immigrant struggles and copying all of the language. I'm watching Ammon Bundy up here, and he copped every goddamn, you know, all of the lingo from the 60s and 70s and what has been heard in Black Lives Matter, that they're being victimized, that the people are not allowed to, you know, this overreach, this, that, and the other. Well, they've been murdering black men and women out here like it's fucking free. Where have any of these open carry sons of bitches been? Where have these constitutionalists been? Indian people get fucked every goddamn day of the week, every fucking year, every decade, every century we get screwed. We don't have control over our fucking lands. Our women are raped and abused. Our children are taken from us. And these sons of bitches go into Northern Paiute goddamn territory, which is, has always been under fucking dispute, and under some Mormon bullshit as an excuse, claim, well, we're going to take this for basically white people. Fuckers like Harold Covington, who was from this goddamn region, because remember, I'm from Portland, you know, I'm not from Portland, but I live here.
Yeah.
I'm in Washington State.
You're a hell of a lot closer to it than I am.
Yeah, but nobody's talking about this on the street. People are pretending that this shit isn't even fucking happening. And
you're kidding. This is in conversations in line at Mickey D's here in Appalachia.
Not in Portland, not where I'm going. I went into the cafe this morning with my producer, like we always do, and we heard absolutely nothing. We had to bring it up. And people are like, well, I kind of heard about it. Aren't they having a protest? And of course, there were at least two people who felt that, you know, they had a right to have their guns and they weren't rioting like Black Lives Matter. And then, you know, somebody had to point out to them, well, I know Burns. There's nothing over there to destroy. There's nothing there. So that's a weak, you know,
another thing before we move. I mean, one, you mentioned the Northern Paiute issue. And naturally, you know, where did I find that out? Did I find that out from CNN or ABC? No, ABC. Oh, it's a protest followed by an action in a refuge. Wow. No, of course it was Indian Country Today.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I found that out. And I suspect, you know, I don't know who will point that out, but I damn sure wish somebody would get a microphone in front of a leader from the Northern Paiute people to say, well, if anybody's going to take that land back, it is goddamn well going to be us.
Well, of course, on Twitter and probably
see,
on Facebook.
But see, if that happened, then by God, there would be tanks and they'd be camped out on top of the Northern Paiute people for threatening to take their land back.
Hey, 1973, wounded knee. You know, and I can talk about the brother, Ray Robinson Jr., that is still missing, that showed up over there and got into it with people who we're not particularly sure, but he ended up missing. He's buried somewhere over there. But yeah, the whole point about wounded knee was just that. Was that, you know, the Indians are being fucked over on a goddamn daily fucking basis. To the point, if it wasn't for wounded knee in 1973, because I read about it in the papers when it happened, you know, most people thought Indians didn't even fucking exist. People who thought Indians existed thought Indians still lived in fucking teepees. And I'm not kidding about that. There's still people who fucking think like that, because the only, you know, realization that they have of Native Americans is the, you know, the Plains powwow. So they used to war bonnets and shit like that. They know nothing about coastal natives. They know nothing about Native culture. And you know, just a couple of days ago, I had somebody, you know, want to get on to me about Cherokee Princess and what have you, and was very offended when I told her that that was a whole lot of bullshit. You know, it was just out the other night with a coastal Quinault, you know, who was trying to explain to her husband. And he was just incredulous, telling me Trump's going to win. And I'm trying to figure out what the fuck is she even doing with him, you know. This is completely crazy. But the bottom fucking line is, you know, with this, again, you and I have talked about this before. The Oath Keepers, all of these fuckers, the NRA, the whole point was to get your guns, to stockpile the guns and the other bullshit so that you can do exactly what the fuck they're doing right now in Burns. That's what all of this about. And Barack Obama looks weak as goddamn hell by not crashing on these motherfuckers, because the rest of the goddamn world is looking at this shit. Al Jazeera reported it this morning. That's goddamn embarrassing.
No, everybody's reported it except Fox.
Except Fox, yeah.
And
I'm understanding that.
And now the white privilege responses are beginning to filter out, and maybe we'll play one of those clips in a minute, because that's a real Lulu. That is, I mean, that's special what's coming out now. But I wanted to, because you know, history means a lot to me. I wanted to go back a little bit and talk about Oregon's history, if we could, Angry.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is a very real history here. Oregon, from its territorial days, had a history of passing what were called exclusionary laws. In other words, the territorial government, all the way up to statehood, was passing laws saying, black people shall not be allowed in the state of Oregon.
That's right.
That's real. And
that's one of the reasons why nobody's talking about it in Portland today. Okay? Because that history has to come up into the discussion. That history has to come up into the discussion.
There were real people who were deported. Or, you know, driven out of the state. And by the way, the author of the first exclusionary law in the Oregon Territory went on to become the first governor of California.
Howdy. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And
I'm not surprised, but hey, I didn't know that.
But all of this was wrapped up in whether or not it would be a free state or a slave state, but Oregon went even further. They wanted to be a free state because they wanted people to be able to farm competitively, I guess is the best way to put it, and not have to compete with huge slave-driven plantations. Okay, I get that. That makes sense. But they went so far as to say, okay, if you move here and you have slaves, you have 3 years to free them. And the way that law worked out is it gave slaveholders 3 years of Oregon being a slave state. Yeah, we tend to assume, Angry, that the Civil War, you know, I mean, the Western states, not so much. I mean, there's skirmish in New Mexico, a little something-something somewhere in California, that kind of thing. But, you know, the business of the Civil War mostly took place east of the Mississippi. Yeah, Arkansas, yeah, Missouri, yeah, Louisiana, a little bit of Texas. But most of the Civil War happened east of the Mississippi, and most of the scars of institutional slavery and racism are still to be found in places like South Carolina, Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama, etc.
And Seattle and Portland and Eugene and Burns.
But that's where I was going. It's history of overt institutional codified racism. And yeah, they took some to correct it. But the fact of the matter is, County Washington was named as Southern senator. And he's the senator that the other senators refer to as name. So the whole country got. Yeah, most people think and James Buchanan were, you know, lovers.
They probably were. I mean, Lincoln had Joshua Speed. Hey, what the fuck, you know?
But in West, there is a different and nasty kind of racism there, where, and it's racism of exclusion. And so I have no doubt that, you know, once they get, you know, onto, oh, I don't know, Milwaukee's best number 8, then you'll have a lot many Clive and Bundy sitting there saying, let me check out the Negro. It's as real as hell out there. And it becomes a little more interesting because it's not just blacks, it's blacks and Hispanic folks. And people there know better than I. It's there for the whole world to see. And all of this is part of the tableau, the backdrop against which this all takes place. And this stuff has been percolating along. You remember, Angry, right after Barack Obama took office, the government released its report on domestic terrorism, and Fox and all the little wing nuts and the flying monkeys and whatnot had their little hissies. And see, Obama's barely in office, and he's already coming after the white people, even though that report was generated as the result of a request by the George W. Bush administration. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. Of course I do. I still have it.
Yeah, and they've been deeply offended ever since because somebody was acknowledging the existence of this really, really filthy strain of white nationalism that is still in this country. And so many people when the racists started getting particularly vitriolic after the first inauguration of Barack Obama, there were Americans who were surprised. Well, I thought that was all over with.
No, they weren't surprised. They said that shit so that it's like, well, don't point at me. And I'm being straight up. When you hear white people who are like, oh, well, you know, I'm totally shocked by this. What they mean is, don't point at me. Don't hold me responsible because I know I belong to this group and I probably should have fucking done more about it. I probably should be fucking saying to these people and to my uncles and my fucked up brothers and what have you, yeah, you know, you really need to cop on to yourself. But no, you know, that's why this shit has gone the way it did. You know, somebody's telling me earlier today, well, you know, the GOP doesn't realize that there was a piece, I think, in Salon. Actually, there is, because I reposted it. Somebody pointed me to it this morning, talking about, well, you know, the GOP really doesn't understand how Trump got as far as he did. And it's like, yes, the fuck they do. You know, this is all a Putney Swope moment, but it's hell of a lot longer than I thought it was going to be. You know, the first Putney Swope moment was when Obama got elected. Now, nobody was banking on that. Rupert Murdoch gave $10 million to Hillary Clinton, and she took it. You understand? You know, Goldman Sachs is what started, you know, when everybody realized that they were putting their money in Obama because everybody's looking at Africa and saying, well, we need to rip Africa the fuck up. A white face will not be able to do that. So we got to put a fucking black guy in there. You know, and then he looked at McCain and Palin, and McCain, they're like, well, you know, he never knows where the fuck he is. You know, he sings songs like Bomb Bomb Iran and shit like that, and he never remembers what, you know, political fucking era he's in. And so, you know, we don't know. We can't trust him. And Sarah Palin's just fucking crazy. She couldn't handle being governor, so she wants to be vice president, but she's a total fucking idiot and can't control her own goddamn family. So, you know, this is the only reason why they lost. They knew that Barack Obama was a loyal fucking uncle to goddamn Tom, and that he was going to back up the American hegemony as he's been goddamn doing. That's why whenever somebody like the fucking idiot I had to share air with the other goddamn night when I went out wants to tell me that, you know, Barack Obama's a member of the Muslim fucking Brotherhood, but then tells me that he's knowledgeable.
And you didn't just run screaming into the night. Oh, my God.
Man, Ms. Angry Indian is looking at me from afar, not understanding why my face is fucked up. But I kept my cool, because it wasn't my house. So I kept my cool. But it was bullshit to have to sit there and listen to this. And then, you know, he's with a native woman, and I'm like, what the fuck is she doing with him? You know, it's like all of this shit is going through my goddamn mind. But the reason that this has gone on as far as it's fucking gone on is because, well, we can blame the press, and we can blame the ownership of the press, because ownership determines content. But at the same time, how many fucking white people do you and I both fucking know that if you challenge them, did you say anything to that motherfucker when he said something out of line? The person next to you, the person that you work with, the person in front of you at the fucking Walmart, you know, the person in the goddamn hover round that wants all the anchor babies to fucking get out of here, that doesn't want welfare for anybody except to pay for their fucking shit. You know, do you say anything to these goddamn people? Or do you put it on black people, Mexicans, other Spanish-speaking Indians, you know, fucking Native Americans and shit, all the people that get their asses kicked, gay folks, transgender people who are trying not to get murdered? Do you put all of the emphasis on them to fucking stand up and march? Where's the 1 million white people against far-right nut jobs in the United States that are marching from California to fucking New York City to point out that white people in America are not going to take assholes like the Bundy claiming that they're speaking for fucking people?
Well,
even
right,
the goddamn
no,
Hammond
no,
said
that's,
that
that's
I'm
part
speaking
of it. You know, as a white guy, I'm trying to do my part here by denouncing Cliven Bundy, Ammon Bundy, the whole filthy Bundy bunch, and this Ritzheimer goon. Because, see, as a white person, I have to. I really feel like I have to. It ain't okay. It's not like a Muslim saying ISIS isn't really Muslim. No. Cliven's really white, and I'm sorry. I'm just sorry.
Yeah, but it's fucked up. You even have to be in that position, because when we talk about the Scots-Irish, you're on the same goddamn level as I am, according to these motherfuckers. There's still people with teeth missing in Appalachia. They're fucking removing livers, goddamn spleens, kidneys from people. People are dying from cancer in Appalachia because what these fuckers are doing. And if you ask these goddamn bastards who are so in support of big coal and mountaintop removal, well, who are you going to vote for? Trump? Well, how? Why? Is he going to do anything for you?
Yeah, because we went down that road. I mean, because the best, I mean, according to that New York Times article, Donald Trump's best state is West, by God, Virginia.
Which makes absolutely no sense in a logical fucking world unless you're dealing with a Rod Serling script, because they are fucking, you know, Trump is he'll be the first one to say, fuck those goddamn poor ass, white trash, whatever the fuck, right? He'll be the first son of a bitch to say that. I wouldn't even want them in any of my goddamn buildings, this son of a bitch. He has no respect for fucking other white people if they can't afford his goddamn bullshit. But these same white people who fucking hate Black Lives Matter, hate the American Indian Movement, can't stand what was the Black Panther Party, because these motherfuckers that call themselves the new Black Panther Party aren't representative of any goddamn thing. Those motherfuckers swap spit with the fuckers that are sitting in Burns right now. This is why I have no truck with that bullshit. The Islamic Hebrews, all of these crazy sons of bitches, they motherfucking run with this. And it's pretty goddamn funny because Farrakhan, who I can criticize like a motherfucker all day long, they've taken on Scientology. I don't understand it. I got family that's in a while. I don't understand it. But he said the other goddamn day, a few days before this fucking thing took place, if you let Trump become president, not only will you have, you know, totally lived out your motherfucking white supremacist fantasy, you're gonna fucking get exactly what the fuck you asked for, which is a ruined goddamn country. Look at fucking every fascist country that
let's not get carried away here. You get that if you get President Rubio. You get that if you get President Cruz. You get that if you get President Jebbia, okay?
It's possible with Clinton, too.
And to a certain extent, President Clinton is just a slower slide into crumbling empire. And the larger point is that if there's any good to be had out of this, it is the fact that, I didn't come up with the term Y'al-Qaeda. I didn't come up with the term Yihadis. I am responsible for Hee-Haw Caliphate, but... But Vanilla ISIS, that ain't mine. Yokel Haram. There are a whole bunch of white folks out there that are pissed off about this and are working it for all they're worth. And oddly enough, I hear something similar coming from most of them, namely, yeah, let's go ahead and send in the damn drones.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's getting to that point. But even before that was discussed, a couple of people, when they started putting out press releases or media statements, and CNN has been doing them a goddamn favor, haven't they?
I heard I was out a little bit earlier, and I heard the National Petroleum Radio coverage of it too.
And
the guy talking about how he walked onto the property and said, "Well, you're not allowed to go any further. The press conference will be held right here at noon." He goes, "Wait a minute, this is public land." Okay. And then they walked, as if this was, some sort of authoritarian state. They walked a minder with him all the way in. And then when he got to the door, and the guy made a point of mentioning this, when they got to the door, a guy with tattooed eyelids met them and blocked the door so that he couldn't see inside Operations Command.
Operations Command. They're using that language?
Yeah.
Since I know that motherfuckers are listening to this show, Mr. Obama, I didn't vote for you. I'm pretty open about that. But I've supported you when it came to racist sons of bitches knocking you and your fucking administration, and especially when it came to assaulting your family. Now, you haven't done a goddamn thing to fucking do anything for black people when it comes to, institutional racism and especially police brutality. But if you're going to fucking stand here and lot of international press to realize that you're not fucking doing anything about a fucking, a goddamn right-wing fascist coup.
But it goes even further. They've refused to answer questions because we don't want to compromise operational security. I mean,
that's a coup.
These guys are playing army. They are an armed insurrection.
Whatever fucking rights they had have been nullified at this goddamn point. So what the fuck are they waiting for? They took over federal goddamn land. We can argue about who the fuck really owns the land later. But at this goddamn point, because I know full fucking well, and yeah, I'm going to use this language because that's the fucking way it is. Let me get 15 niggas to motherfucking show up or a bunch of black Indians to a fucking federal building with guns. We're not talking about the Bureau of Indian Affairs being occupied, which was occupied nonviolently. I'm not saying a few people didn't get pushed around. But they didn't go in there with goddamn guns. They came in there with a fucking drum, and they were led by medicine people. This bullshit, Wounded Knee, led by a drum and medicine people. This bullshit, these motherfuckers, they didn't just all up it. I mean, that's the other thing that's pissing me off, Brother Bob. They're making this shit sound out like it was just impromptu, or we decided to do this at the moment. That's a goddamn lie.
Bundy. This Hammond story has been a cause celeb among the white wing for years now, and they have transmogrified the Hammonds into some sort of martyrs, which they aren't. They aren't arsonists
and poachers. If Indian people can't fucking fish and game on their own goddamn land, how the fuck can some goddamn, white man go on public fucking land and do this and then try to cover their fucking tracks and cause a forest fucking fire? And then I supposed to fucking have to answer to anybody for this shit? They were wrong to begin with. You're not supposed to hunt on that goddamn territory. That's the fucking point of it being a natural fucking reserve. Because Europeans have come here and fucking debased the goddamn shit. So that was supposed to save it. They don't want to give it to the Northern Paiute to fucking take care of, because we're too fucking stupid. We're picking seeds out of our feces, right? So, you know, fucking, they got to have a white man do it. So this is it. But this is what the Bundy thing is about. They're taking all of that history that you talked about with Oregon, because this was supposed to be an all-white state. It was a Jim Crow fucking state. They know this. And evidently one of their little fucking legal gerbils decided to, hey, we got this going on. Because there's parts and towns in Washington state that also were laws against black men walking on the street, laws against interracial marriage, you know, specifically
laws
between
against,
black and white.
Laws against Asians. I just had a note from Roger.
That's right.
A little bit ago. He said, family history. My dad's older siblings, born and raised in Oregon, couldn't get married here to someone of a different racial background. My dad was able to marry outside his race here in 1953, only because they repealed the law forbidding it in 1951.
He's right. Roger's right. Because I can't remember if it was Washington or Oregon State, but there was a Japanese man here generations back, who sued to be legally recognized as white because he realized that his children would not have any rights. If he couldn't at least be able to show on a piece of paper, I'm just as white as the rest of you. He was a business owner. He owned land. I mean, he was everything the American. He was as American as could goddamn be. He
the law that I mentioned where the slaveholders had 3 years, 2 years to free a male slave, 3 years to free a female slave. Yeah, figure that one out.
Figure that one out, right?
But here's the hitch. Once they were freed, they were not allowed to own land, not allowed to vote, not allowed to own any sort of property. You get the idea.
Well, in Oregon, if you were a Negro, you weren't even allowed to be in the fucking state.
Well, that's what I mean. I'm talking about Oregon. That was before they had to leave. If they tried to stick around, they were absolutely bereft. One black farmer, a freedman, came from Missouri. He had been a very successful farmer in Missouri, but he wanted to try his hand in Oregon, and they bounced him out. Another man came from the West Indies, a sailor. Sorry.
Yeah, this is America, you know, where a man is free and the Constitution applies to everybody. You know, that's why, you know, I mean, like I said, you and I have talked about this before. These motherfuckers pick up the Constitution at the points in which they like, and they disregard the motherfucking rest. And then, you know, they accuse you of being against them. They use religion as a cover. They use free speech as a cover. They use the Constitution as a fucking cover. Everything these bastards are doing is unconstitutional. Every fucking thing they're doing. They're on federal fucking property with firearms when they are not licensed federal fucking agents. They are not law enforcement for a fucking state or a municipality. They already have violated the fucking law. Oh, we found the key, so the door was open. Well, goddamn, I know a bunch of fucking crooks that I grew up with that they would have loved to have used that in court. Oh, I found the key. The store was open. We went in and we found some things. I went and sold it on the street. So what the fuck are you talking to me about that I'm a criminal? You know, I mean, it's the same sort of fucking logic. But again, it's the sing-song voice. It's the idea about God somehow gave this to us. They're totally pretending that there was nobody fucking here before the Europeans showed up, and that somehow Obama came in and that he took this from them when they don't pay their fucking taxes, when they have money to pay their fucking taxes. Bundy and the Bundy family makes a profit every goddamn year off their fucking cattle, grazing on federal fucking land in which they've been fined and they refuse to motherfucking pay, but they're still making a profit off of their goddamn business. They had their cattle taken from them and the federal government gave them their fucking cattle back. They're still goddamn whining. Now they want to have all the motherfucking land and not pay a fucking dime. But they're not terrorists. They're freedom fighters. But Black Lives Matter goes out there and say, hey, stop shooting us down in the fucking street like dogs. Stop blowing our fucking brains out because you made a fucking traffic stop. Stop raping our goddamn women and our fucking daughters. Stop killing our fucking children. Stop setting us up and framing us like Moses L. 30 motherfucking years for a rape that he did not goddamn commit. If these motherfuckers are so about civil rights and shit, there's a million goddamn cases I could point to them that they could be fucking working on. But they're not gonna fucking work on that. Just like JT Reddy, a neo-fucking Nazi, who was supported by the GOP and Russell Pierce, who was out there with his motherfucking quote-unquote militia catching and rounding up. They were working alongside Border Patrol. They were working alongside local law enforcement, going in the desert and picking up people who are trying to get here because of the chaos that was going on in their country because of what the U.S. was doing here. That son of a bitch murdered his entire fucking family and then committed motherfucking suicide. But we're not supposed to be worried about the far right. Gerard and Amanda Miller shot two cops, shot a bunch of other goddamn people, but we're not supposed to be afraid of them. Eric Frein killed a cop. They had to go up in the mountains of Pennsylvania to look for this son of a bitch, but we're not supposed to be afraid of them. Dylann Roof. I can go on down the line, Brother Bob.
Oh, I know. And just by way of introducing folks to a couple more of the pasty-faced, doughy weirdos that are behind this insurrection, another one is a guy named Ryan Payne. And in reading a profile of him in the Missoula Independent, he's from Montana, he's another one of these patriots, and he's going to reclaim America, okay? He was one of the first ones to jump in and respond in Bundyville. And in that article, I learned about something else. Maybe you already know about it, Angry. Something called OMA. Ever heard of it?
No.
Operation Mutual Aid. Described in this article as a loose coalition of militias and sympathetic individuals from across the United States. Well, the fact of the matter is, all these goddamn treasonous militias are networked. Okay?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
One calls another and the next. And so he's the one who he triggered OMA, Operation Mutual Aid. And that's where all the weirdo militia people, that's how they wound up in Nevada at Bundyville. Okay? This guy served apparently in Iraq. As is so often the case, he claims to be something he wasn't. He claims to have been a ranger. He wasn't a ranger. And talks about his sniping ability. He also wasn't a sniper.
They lie like a motherfucker, these bastards.
But he is a straight up weirdo. Here's a paragraph from that article. He came to believe that slavery never really existed in the United States, and that African Americans in the antebellum South didn't view themselves as slaves. He came to believe in an effort by some Jews to control the world. He came to believe that the founders of the United States intended for the states to act as sovereign countries. He came to believe that taxes are a form of legal plunder. He came to, in other words, he listened to Alex Jones a lot.
Oh, I blame him 100% for this.
He came to believe that names are spelled in all caps on driver's licenses. I mean, this is a hockey puck moment, because U.S. citizens are actually corporate entities. He came to believe that U.S. courts are actually foreign admiralty courts. He came to believe that in most states you have the lawful authority to kill a police officer that is unlawfully trying to arrest you.
Shit. Really? This is him.
I mean, this is Ryan Payne, one of the treasonous insurrectionists.
You know, and you know, I have a photograph of, and I think I got it from, I think Progress, of Ted Cruz with one of John Ritzheimer's pals. When I find it, I'm going to put it
online. Probably the pal is probably Blaine Cooper.
I'm going to look. You know,
he's a buddy of Ritzheimer, and he and Ritzheimer both come out of the so-called border movement, the patrolling movement.
Yeah, they were with JT Reddy. JT Reddy was that really rotund son of a bitch, and I don't make fun of people, but, you know, when you're going to talk about being 100% American and you're better than everybody else and you can't get past, I mean, aren't they asking for snacks?
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know, not even real goddamn, you know, sustainable fucking food, which you figured that if they were really smart, they would have thought about that. But, you know, they're asking for fucking help. Yeah, and, I mean, even when they attacked the Grand Mosque, they were better planned than this. and these motherfuckers do this, you know, it's easy to clown them, and we should clown them to a degree. But the point is that they're motherfucking serious. You know, JT Reddy was an inspiration for these sons of bitches. And whenever I'm calling one of these fucking trolls online, I point out, that motherfucker murdered his whole goddamn family. And like a fucking coward, and I normally don't say this about people who commit suicide, but when you kill a bunch of fucking people when you're a fucking freak, and then you commit suicide, yeah, you're a motherfucking coward. You're a fucking coward. And JT Reddy represented all that shit. Same thing with Gerard and Amanda Miller. When they realized that they were cornered, she shot him and then she shot herself. But I'm supposed to respect these gun rights bastards? No. I realize what the fuck they're about.
No, the only respect they command is the respect that they command right now, and it is the fact that they have guns, Angry. Guns.
And that's all. Yeah, well, they have guns and they have their whiteness, because if they weren't white, they would have been lit up by now. If they had said that they were Muslims, if they were white Muslims, if they were an anti-war goddamn group that did this, they would have been lit up by now.
And by the way, just because there are so many, little tangents and offshoots to all of this, Angry. Here's one. Now I know for a fact that the federal government had infiltrated any number of so-called environmental organizations.
Mm-hmm.
And they at various times they tried to act as agents provocateurs and get those groups to engage in violence so they could get an arrest.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the infiltration of these jackasses?
No, they do infiltrate them. They do.
So why did nobody know this was going to happen? These are clowns. Okay, these are not. These are not high-minded strategic thinkers. I mean, they had to send out a tweet for snacks. All right. Why was this even? Why did it even get close enough for this to happen?
I've said it on your show before. I've said it on my show because somebody wants this to happen. If they were monitoring, or they monitor Google on a regular goddamn basis, they let us know that they're monitoring Google. So how was Anders Breivik able to get all of the bomb materials that he used? Because it came up in his trial. He got them all searching on Google, and nobody put two and two together? They don't know? I mean, how is it that I'm able to report about this bullshit on my show, to put it in my essays, but they don't know about it? Yeah, they knew about it. And they didn't stop it. Because we have to remember something. The system is one thing, but individuals make up the system. If you talked earlier or made mention to, and I sent you some material after you said it, the infiltration of law enforcement and federal agencies and the military by white supremacists. And we all know that they were openly recruiting amongst neo-Nazi skinheads at one point.
Yeah.
So, you have what
I
you
mean,
have.
Do you think that's one of the considerations?
It has to be one of the considerations.
If the order is given, how many will follow it, or how many will cross over to the other side?
They've been worried about that. There's been whispers in the military about this for a long time. They used to have...
isn't the essence of Oath Keepers that they swear an oath not to fire on citizens if commanded to do so?
I don't know about that, but I know they totally say that they're going to turn against their government if they don't like it. They made that oath that they're, like you said, this is religion time, that they're more, into the religion, the belief of the Constitution than actually understanding what the fuck the Constitution is about. And it gets to the point where you don't care.
I don't mean to sound like an elitist or anything, Angry, but constitutional law is complex and complicated.
And it was done so on purpose.
It gets more so. I mean, it's complex and constant. It's the basic document has. I mean, there's things in there where I tend to think that Madison and et al. Were looking at things in such a way that they thought, well, this is self-evident. I mean, this just makes sense. Nobody could ever, and they didn't anticipate a bunch of pettifogging lawyers 200 years down the road.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't see a lot of this.
But,
the
way they write about treason is pretty straightforward. And it's the only crime that's defined in the Constitution. But from that moment forward, the Supreme Court begins to interpret it. And so what you read in the Constitution ain't necessarily how it is. I got a case here that I was actually saving for this evening before I knew that this foolishness was going to break out. And it's a civil case in which a couple of people in Kansas, okay, got raided by a SWAT team. All right.
Mm-hmm.
They were forced to get on the ground. You know, it was, you know, the pounding on the door, and the SWAT team just flooding the house. They put them on the floor, pointed guns at her. The wife and mother had to get on the 13-year-old had to get on the floor, and then they were held at gunpoint for 2 hours while the police ransacked their house. All right. Now, when it finally came, you know, what are you looking for? We're looking for your marijuana growing operation.
Yeah.
And it later came out that the cops knew within 20 minutes that there wasn't going to be anything there. So then they started turning the place up and down, upside down, looking for, you know, just please, anything, a doobie.
Anything.
A doobie. I mean, a bag, a quarter, a dime, whatever. Resin in a bong, for God's sakes. And that wasn't there either, because they weren't dope smokers. All right? So how did this happen? Did they have the wrong address? No, they had the right address. They knew they were going after who they were going after. 7 months earlier, Angry. And see, these dumbasses in the militia movement, if they were paying attention, there is stuff out there to get worked up over. Like this. Because 7 months earlier, the man and his son were at the seed and feed. Because the kid, remember, he's 13, the kid had a school project in which he was going to hydroponically grow tomatoes. And the state police had a trooper in the parking lot writing down license plate numbers of everybody who went to the seed and feed in Kansas. And so 6 months later, having been provided this information by the state police in something called Operation Constant Gardener, beginning on April 20th, you know, because of 420, the sheriff's department raided people's homes. In one instance, the sheriff's department went to these people's home and went through their garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And they found what they called saturated plant material. And they thought it was the dope. And so they have these silly drug field testing kits that are about as accurate, well, less accurate than, you know, you eyeballing something. And so their drug field kit said, oh, definitely THC here, definitely THC. So they go and they get their warrant. Well, the saturated plant material was old tea bags of, you know, tea.
They were probably using for mulch any goddamn way, but saving for mulch.
No, I mean, no, they just use the tea bag, throw the tea bag away. And in the course of the litigation that came with all of this, it turns out that these drug field testing kits can mistake sage, chocolate chip cookies, motor oil, mm-hmm. spearmint, soap, tortilla dough, deodorant, billiard chalk, patchouli, flour, eucalyptus, breath mints, Jolly Ranchers, and vitamins as pot.
No kidding. So they do all this to the family. And then they went ahead and had a press conference declaring the success of Operation Constant Gardener, and that drug activity had been found in good neighborhoods like Leewood and average Johnson County families. Well, eventually the family gets cleared. There's no wrongdoing. So they sue. Guess what? They lost. A George H.W. Bush appointee by the name of U.S. District Court Judge John W. Lungstrom canned every single count of this family's civil lawsuit. He said the police had probable cause for the search based upon the fact that they were seen going to a gardening store.
And buying, fertilizer and what
have you. He said that there was probable cause for the search based upon the bullshit response of the field testing unit. He specifically found that the family had not been defamed by the raid or by the publicity that the sheriff's department deliberately generated in its wake. Okay? The cops got away with it. Because there's really not that much left of the Fourth Amendment. The Fourth Amendment is tissue paper thin at this point. Between good faith and rulings like this, not, now, because the goddess of irony never sleeps angry, would you care to guess who the plaintiffs were?
Mm-mm.
It was Robert and Addie Hart, H-A-R-T-E, former CIA analysts. No kidding.
That's comforting. But then again, Wayne Simmons is a liar, so yeah.
But you see the irony here. God only knows how many of their analyses have led to somebody being droned or kidnapped and had a bag put over their head and taken and, stuffed in a torture cell or hung by their thumbs.
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, look at the fucker that's the advisor to Uncle Ben Carson. I'm trying to remember his name right now. Lupe's not here to help me. I can't remember his name right now, but he's a total nutcase. I mean, he wrote a book, but when you listen to him talk, it's hard to imagine. It's like listening to Archie Bunker. It's hard to imagine that this man was given a budget, that he was given a zone of responsibility, that he had people under his command, that people lost their lives under the son of a bitch. But yeah, I mean, he was legitimate CIA. And then you have motherfuckers like William Simmons, who was on Fox News all the goddamn time, who claimed to be CIA and is now being prosecuted by the feds for lying about that. It's just Benghazi, Gregory Hicks the liar, I'm hearing now that Hillary Clinton is saying that maybe we've been visited by aliens and there's a coup going on. And, whether or not we've been visited by aliens is the number one thing I'm seeing right now on Twitter. So, what's to do? What's to do? We have a black president that isn't seemingly doing anything, and there's a coup going on right under his goddamn nose that the international fucking media is looking at. And, it's like, what do you do? What do you do? Where's the logic in it?
And see, that Radley Balco, who wrote this post over at Washington Post...
Who's a conservative.
His piece saying the Harts are white, financially sound, and both happen to have worked for the CIA. Most people on the receiving end of these raids aren't white, aren't middle class, didn't once work for a federal intelligence agency, and don't have $25,000 laying around to fund a fight in court. Those advantages can't help the Harts win some accountability, then you can imagine the long odds faced by the typical victim of a botched raid. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is stuff wrong in this country, and frankly, we cover a whole lot of it angry.
Well, yeah, but even though I don't consider myself a liberal, you know, I'm indigenous. But, you know, we discussed this. Radley Balco is a good example. He is a libertarian. He's a conservative libertarian. So is Edward Snowden. To a large degree, so is Chelsea Manning. You know, so is Julian Assange. These are not really liberals. Julian Assange actually gave money to Ron Paul's campaign the last time he ran for president. And I think he gave Rand Paul some support. So, you know, these are the people who are like, this is not the way the system is supposed to work.
No, and this is, you know, this is where there's that little thin sliver of overlap in the Venn diagram, okay? Mm-hmm. I mean, because I take I read, and if it, and you know what? If it were not for the 3-year-long cup of coffee I had in law school, I would look at the Fourth Amendment and say, well, they can't do this kind of stuff. But they can. Because there's a long line of interpretive cases that say they can.
Well,
the ink was scarcely dry on the Fourth Amendment when people started looking for exceptions to it. And that's government. And it's real.
Yeah, but they're not going through the process.
But there's a gulf of distance between a couple of punk sons of bitches setting fire to other people's land and federal land to cover up a previous crime. And some innocent family getting their door broken down at 3 o'clock in the goddamn morning.
Well, Brother Bob, we just had a 19-year-old university fucking student and his 55-year-old community activist neighbor get murdered. And, you know, the first thing and the only thing that the police can say to the father who's demanding that they call EMS and do something for his son while he's watching him twitch until his last breath is, show us your fucking ID. No apologies. Well, it was an accidental, you know, we accidentally shot Betty Jones to death. How the fuck do you accidentally shoot somebody to death? Look at these two cops that shot their mother, you know, 27 fucking times, but only they shot at her 27 times, but only hit her with one round in the thigh. So 27 fucking rounds just went wild. And these are two professional fucking police officers. Who panic like that in their own goddamn house when they know that somebody lives with them.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a reason that the preamble to the Constitution, Angry, says a more perfect union. It doesn't say we're on our way to a perfect union, but a more perfect. You know, something closer to perfect than where we are now. And that's, you know, that's an admonition that was meant to last. Let's always keep working on making it better.
Yeah, but better for who? See, that's what this whole shit is.
I get that. But you know what? When we get to the suffrage movement, when we get to the civil rights movement, those are all efforts to make that more perfect union. Our union does not become more perfect by allowing a bunch of gunned up ignorami to hole up in a bird sanctuary and point guns at the rest of us. Because the fact of the matter is, we need to understand this much too, Angry. They are pointing those guns at all of us.
Yeah, but what's really about it? Because nobody gives a fuck about all of us. It's the fact that you and I, how many times have I said this on this show? I feel redundant to have to keep bringing this up. You know, it's like, well, you keep saying it. Well, we need to keep talking about it. The fucking Bundy family and their hired hands have already pulled fucking weapons on federal officers, and they were allowed to get away with it. So why are we surprised that the Bundy...
paid no price whatsoever.
No price whatsoever. So why should we be surprised?
Yeah, but I can't emphasize that enough, because, see, these clowns are out there saying... We're occupying this bird sanctuary for all Americans to get rid of the tyranny of an out-of-control federal government.
Using the language of occupy, which was stomped into the fucking ground.
And that's why all of us are called upon to say, not in my name, you dead from the neck up little dumbasses. So, not in my name.
Well, there's been one press release I've seen from England about this, saying, you know, that they're copying the language and the entire fucking, you know, everything, the entire fucking literature.
Oh, they're not, whoever's doing the brains work behind all this, because it's not John Ritzheimer.
No.
And it's not the Bundys.
No.
But there's somebody with an IQ that's banging on all eight.
Well, they have a few intellectuals amongst them who believe that they're the center of the universe. Because how many times have I said this on your show? These motherfuckers make these statements like they're Francis X. Bushman. You know, they stand up there talking about, well, you know, the freedom of America and try to hold back the crocodile tears. I told my wife, they've been practicing this shit for a week. What length? Because you notice there's no Confederate flags over there.
No. And you know, in the audio I was playing, dumbass talks about how he was away from his family on Christmas. Now he's got a 3-year-old daughter and a 5-year-old daughter. What a shitheel. You know, my father was away from us on a lot of Christmases because he was working at a damn furnace.
Yeah, he wasn't trying to take over the fucking country and do sedition, you know.
Right. So that's how long this thing's been in the making. And the next question is, and I think, you know, this is where a nice prosecution would come in handy. Because, see, at this point in time, there's a conspiracy involved.
Oh, yes. Where's RICO in
where,
this?
Well, and what I want to know in a federal prosecution of this, I want to follow the money. You know, just like Deep Throat said, follow the money.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know where the money's coming from for this. Because they're not, you know, they're not raising. I mean, they've got their little fundraising site, Rogue something.
And why is that even still on the fucking net?
Well, there's
this
that.
Is a terrorist act. Why, you know,
right. Because, you know, if the Shahada was repeated at the top of that web page, it would be disappeared down the memory hole.
And they would fuck with anybody who had anything to do with that shit. But yet these fuckers are doing this. And there's people on Twitter, at least, because I don't fuck with Facebook, but there's people on Twitter that are supporting this, who are making all kinds of excuses.
Follow the money. And you know what? If it goes back to one of these libertarian anti-American assholes like Chuck and Dave, the Koch brothers, then by God, name them in the damned indictment, because that's the fun part about conspiracy, okay? If two or more people agree to perform an illegal act, and one or more, at least one, takes a substantial act toward the completion of a substantial step toward the completion of the act, then everybody is chargeable in the conspiracy.
Well, again, we're looking at white people that are talking about the Bible, even though they're Mormons. And I have not made fun of their underwear. I have not talked about any of the other bullshit that we can contend with on Mormonism. Glenn Beck, where the fuck is he while this shit is happening? You know, these fuckers are not going to be shot down in the street like dogs because they are not communists. They're not black people. They're not Native Americans. They're not Puerto Ricanos. They're not Dominicans. They're not El Salvadorians.
In other words, they're not okay to eliminate, to rub out.
So we're going to talk to them, and we're going to try to figure out what's going on, and we're going to try to find a resolution that works for them and works for us. But when it's Black Lives Matter with no guns, who are being shot at 2 nights in a row, had 5 people fucking shot at in front of a police station 2 nights in a row, and not a fucking thing has happened.
Well, and you know what? I've got clips here. May not get to them tonight, but I'll get to them. I got clips here that show that it tells us everything we need to know about and one's from Fox, but the other's from CNN. Okay,
let's go.
Well, hold on here. Let's see. I got somebody on the other line here, so I want to make sure that we get everybody in who needs to get in. But Angry, it's been a great conversation, and we're gonna.
Right.
I have a feeling they're not gonna leave tonight.
We're
going to have a while to deconstruct this seditious bullshit.
Well, they're actually hoping that one or two of them get shot so that they can play martyr. You know, this is part of their thing. That's why Ritzheimer wanted the world to know that he was saying goodbye to his family, because he's going to be a martyr. He's going to be a martyr. And I say, well, fucking give him what he wants.
Really, you want to go be a martyr? I mean, he's already been in the military, allegedly. You know, pack up and sign on. There's lots of people taking trips over to fight ISIS. But see, he's a chicken shit.
Oh, hell yeah. There's drug gangs right in this fucking country. Cartels operating within the United States. Matter of fact, one of the top cops in Texas was just motherfucking taken in for working with the goddamn cartels. If they want to stop crime, there they go.
The Texas cop of the year.
If they want to stop crime, go right the fuck ahead. Go after the goddamn drug cartels, because I would like to see them taken off the fucking streets. If you really want to do this shit, motherfucking what's stopping you? But they won't goddamn do that.
But see, Angry, that's the same thing with any of these amosexuals. You know, they don't care when 300,000 people get poisoned. They don't go point a gun at the head of Freedom Industries. Okay, they don't care when 29 people get incinerated in a coal mine. They don't go pointing a gun at Don Blankenship's head. No, the only thing that they consider to be murka is whether or not they can fondle their genitals and a firearm at the same time
without shooting their goddamn left testicle off. Peace.
Yeah, later, Angry. See ya. The one and only Angry Indian. AngryIndian.wordpress.com. We do have folks have been trying to reach the program, and I want to make sure folks get a chance to chime in on all of this. Let me say thanks to Thomas for the new subscription. We have $140 to go in fundraising this evening. $140 to go to get that money doubled via Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge. So $140, 14 at 10, 10 at 14, 20 at 7. Okay, can we do this? You know where the interface is. PayPal's over at headonradionetwork.com. And could it be? I suspect it is Bruce Birch?
Quite possibly. Hello there, Bob. How you doing, man?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I've been listening to you there, and I, you know, got to tell you that we've seen many, 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 many Moran Mondays, but this one is the prize winning crown achievement of the Morans. I really think that these guys up in the Northwest there have
oh, they're going for it. I mean,
they really are. Yeah, they've
pulled out all the stops. They've got that. You know, I hope they've got some of those little gusher yogurt snacks. I like those. Are really good for you.
They put out a desperate plea for snacks. I mean, this is planning at its finest. This is like a birthday party, and they forgot the cake. I mean, what the hell?
If you're wanting snacks, doesn't that mean somebody needs to send some juice boxes too?
Yes, some juicy juice boxes. I don't know. Maybe we should. Here's a great idea. You know, maybe we could send them some packs of Kool-Aid because it's relatively inexpensive. You can put it in an envelope, you know, a number 10 envelope, and send it right on. You know, I can't believe this crap, Bob. Do they really think that taking over a bird sanctuary sends any kind of statement at all aside from? Okay. You know, there's some strong correlations here between foghorn, leghorn, and the situation going on in the Northwest. I'm just saying. I don't know if you can draw that.
No, I get it. It's just I want to ridicule them. I want to mock them. I want to have all kinds of fun with them. But
it is dreadfully serious, though.
It is. And yeah, it's a bird sanctuary. And yeah, I don't think these guys have enough brains to pour piss out of a boot with directions on the heel. They'd all wind up soaked. You know.
Are they armed with birdshot? I couldn't help it, Bob.
I know. There's a cornucopia here. I mean, you know, the Hee-Haw Caliphate. I'm proud of that.
Now I'm going to take it down to a more serious note, though, Bob. And, you know, we've known each other for a long time, and you know, we both have championed, you know, the rights of people to peacefully assemble, and at times occupy certain areas, you know, and you know, as long as it's nonviolent, but. You know, where does one draw the line? And it's like these folks who are up there now, because they're armed, apparently, to the teeth, have dreadfully, I mean, absolutely crossed the line. And my question for you, sir, and this is one that I'm sure you've thought about, how would you respond to this if you were president, Bob?
Oh, I'd have droned their asses yesterday, but I'm a some bitch.
Yeah. If you were president, though, and you had to worry about, you know, how it was going to reflect on your party and, you know, making sure you're politically correct because, you know, you're a black man and they're white people, how would you handle that?
I don't know. Maybe have a conversation with the attorney general and say, can we get these people indicted for sedition, lickety split? Because a prosecutor can indict a ham sandwich with a compliant grand jury, and we've seen that all grand juries are compliant. Let's not waste a lot of time on this. Let's get them indicted, and then go serve the warrants.
What is the? I mean, you know, curiously, because you've had some legal training. How does this arrive at sedition? Would you call it sedition?
There's a conspiracy to commit.
Okay.
I mean, they've taken up arms against a federal facility. I read the statute the other day. It's still on the books.
Okay.
This is
the same thing that the folks down in South Carolina did in 1861. Applies to these folks up there in the Northwest here in 2016.
The very same. It is the same. Probably by the multi-great-grandchildren of the people who did that.
Mm.
Okay, it's not like there's anybody in that group there whose names end in vowels. I mean, granted, there's no Beauregards in there, but, you know...
You know, I almost came on the air and did Beauregard T. Clampett for you. I was almost going to do that, mainly because you know the similarities are absolutely evident. But you know, I struggle with it, and for a couple of reasons. And you know that I've always been very active with political opposition. I'm part of the standing opposition, pretty much of everything. But you know, I just, you know, the whole idea of arming themselves is just, I mean, there's many,
yeah, but
many
look,
ways.
But look, Bruce, we have taught them to do that, okay?
Yeah.
You've been involved in nonviolent civil disobedience. I've been involved in nonviolent civil disobedience. I've marched, you've marched, we've protested, that kind of thing. But ask yourself, would CNN be making a big deal out? No. It was a struggle. It was a struggle for Occupy to get coverage. But these guys have guns. Hot dang! And so everybody, you know, it's like the squalling little brat in preschool. The good little children go. The good little children go begging.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess, you know, that it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. You know, I've heard very, you know, comments from folks, everyday, normal, average working folks. I've heard people talk about it being another Waco. I've heard people talking about it ending up being another Ruby Ridge. You know, I think it should be
And presumably that's what they want, Bruce.
Yeah, they want to be martyred.
I don't necessarily, you know, you know, Will in Chicago in the chat room says, I say starve them out, let them freeze and starve, let their bellies get hungry and out they'll come. Here's the problem, though. People have been allowed to bring them in their snacks.
No, they're not.
Yeah. There's no police presence there. There's no cordon. There's nobody stopping traffic.
No shit.
Yeah, the reporter from National Petroleum Radio just sashayed right in.
That's crazy. So they're up there armed. They've taken over a federal facility, and the federal government's like, oh, really? Oh, well, we got more pressing matters going on over here. We'll be back to them in a couple weeks to see what happens. I mean, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay, shifting onto a little bit of a deeper subject. What is this is part of that though. That's to me, that whole situation is very indicative of the implosion of the conservative side of the fence. And you know, back in the '60s, there was this huge explosion in the counterculture and in liberal ideas and in progressive thought. You know, I'm wondering now if there's some sort of cycle that we're going to go through where the where there's going to be this explosion of absolutely crazy radical right insanity, for lack of a better term, you know. And the reason why I say that is we have, you know, these presidential candidates that are being trotted out, and there ain't a damn one of them that speaks any sense at all whatsoever. Of course, they're not going to, but these are especially a crazy lot. And now we have this situation going on up there. You know, it's just kind of a scary situation. I mean, you know, because those
I was going to say a minute ago, Bruce, as far as I can tell, they're winning.
Yeah.
Okay? So. They're winning. They've been allowed to do this and to be there for 3 days. And I don't know why the brilliant people in the upper echelons of federal law enforcement don't realize that every day they're allowed to sit there emboldens the next guy.
I think it would be a good idea if they took some old tapes of Alan Colmes up there and broadcast them like really loud, like they do. You know, that might. No, I don't know what's going to stop.
Realistically, what I said earlier, fly. You know, just fly a little cheapo Radio Shack drone around a couple of times. In fact, I had a note. Had a note from Ron earlier.
Okay.
He said, "I have an ex-Navy buddy on the West Coast who's currently modifying his very capable photo drone to emit a red laser beam aligned of the crosshairs of his HD camera. He's thinking of getting to within 1,000 yards of the building, launching the drone, and then just flitting it around on the edge of the tree line, lining the camera up on the building, watchtower, etc., and firing the laser just long enough for it to be noticed before moving to another location on the perimeter. He was the psych expert in our little group of warriors. He figures it'll take about 3 days of seeing a laser beam on your chest to really mess with their heads, and it sounds like fun. I think that's a lovely idea because, again, let's remember, these are cowards, okay?
Yes, absolutely.
They are pure nitrogen-laced chicken shit.
Yeah, absolutely, Bob. You know, I plan to call in a little bit more often. I haven't talked to you in a while, but I'm glad you're still going strong, and I'll see if I can do a drop a few dollars in the bucket there. I know that you guys are carrying the torch and carrying it loud and proud, man, and I'm very, very proud to have been once a part of the network. And maybe someday
the archives are all still there.
I still point people to them. I say, you know, I used to have a radio show. But, you know. Yeah,
no, you didn't. Yes, I did.
Hell yeah, I did, for real, I'm not lying. But
no, I can remember far back doing a 5-minute newscast for the top of the hour.
I know, right? This is Bob Kincaid for the Head On Radio Network. This is awesome. Bob, it's been great talking to you. I wanted to let everybody get a chance to get on the air, but I just wanted to call in and tell you, you know, that I really appreciate what you're doing, and I hope to talk to you soon, and keep it going, brother, because we need more like you.
Well, thank you, Bruce. It's awful good to hear from you. I hope you're doing well, and yeah, don't be such a stranger.
I won't be. I've been bouncing around all over the country really the last 6-8 months, and finally settled down a little bit. And so we'll see, where I can have a radio all the time and all that good stuff. So we'll definitely call back in, and y'all have a wonderful night, man. And give some bitches hell. All right.
You take care, Bruce. Bye now.
Bye now.
The one and only from way back in the dim and distant past of the horn, Bruce Birch, and. Hey, up in the barely frozen north, it's Ron.
Well, hello, Bob.
Howdy do.
I do fine. I'm inside keeping warm.
I'm inside and not so warm, so, you know.
Wish I could help.
Oh, there's no ductwork or anything back here, so it gets interesting in moments like this when we're going to get down to 5 tonight.
Ooh.
But but who am I to complain? I mean, we haven't had that much winter so far.
I said to someone today, I'm just grateful that this crap didn't happen in October, November, and December. We just skipped 3 months of winter.
No, you don't. Because see, what we're dealing with here, Ron, is the misalignment of the seasons. You'll probably get 6 feet of snow in May.
I don't expect to be here in May, but that's another story. Somebody else will have to deal with that. But
is somebody going to go play in the sandbox?
Yay, verily.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. I just want to say that I wonder how the mothers of all these assholes in Oregon are feeling about the proud legacy imposed on their family name by their sons.
That's a good question. Yeah, do you think they're as loopy as the... I mean, do you think the apple falleth not far from the tree?
Generally speaking, mothers tend to be smarter than their sons.
Well, yes. No pushback from me.
Understood. I did say generally speaking.
Yes.
Doesn't hold true in all cases. I'm watching this with some interest. You know, it's, to me, the quintessential marker to take away from it, which I wish the media would grasp, is that these are people who have taken up guns, occupied federal property, threatened violence, and if they were black or Muslim, there would be a friggin' hole in the ground.
And greasy spots, yeah.
Yeah, but my overarching concern on a completely different issue is I am just loving the hell out of watching the Republicans try to win the Iowa and New Hampshire primaries.
Well, it's not a separate topic, because one of them is going to decide it would be a great idea to announce solidarity with the freedom standoffers.
Yeah, but nobody's listening to Santorum.
Rand Paul and that thing on his head, he hasn't dropped out yet. He might want a little bump. I don't think Mike Huckabee. But see, it's the Bundy factor. You know, Rand Paul and that thing on his head were all crazy about Clive and Bundy until he decided to tell us about the Negro.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a little bit of that going with it. And there's the whole fact that the Hammonds were, in fact, felons who committed arson. That's why I say there's not a whole lot of brain power behind this.
No. But, okay, let's assume that Rand Paul gets a bump. You could combine everybody below Carson and Trump, and they would still only have 25%.
That is true. True.
That's an issue for
another
evening.
I'll be honest. The one I see, simply because he's not just ideology but personality wise, it is routinely agreed, even among the most diehard and hardcore of Republican circles, that Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, anointed future king of America, son of Rafael Eduardo Cruz, the man who forgot to become an American, is just an asshole's asshole.
Yeah.
And so I can almost see him being the one that decides, because this will play big, unless I misread it hugely. This will play big with the stumps back in Texas,
all of whom are armed.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But I think 6 months ago we were talking about this, and I just see this playing out along the same lines I talked about then. They just keep pushing each other further to the right in order to get some kind of media bandwidth, and Trump's just egging them on, and they're going to be so far to the right that they're going to make Barry Goldwater look like a liberal by the time they get to
like a flaming commie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And by extension, we'll make the Goldwater girl, Hillary Clinton, look like a dyed-in-the-wool progressive.
Yep. And she's to the right of center already. But I find it every bit as interesting to watch the Republicans circle the wagons as I do this. I convinced this little thing in Oregon, while it's impressive in its volume, isn't going to last all that long. It'll disappear, and it'll pop back up 6 months or a year later someplace else.
I'm going to be severely angry if these fools are not hit with about a 72-page, 50-count indictment.
the wheels of justice grind slowly, right, Bob?
But exceeding fine. Yes, I get that part.
Yeah.
But I've got a feeling that,
Well, the feds have innumerable ways to make their life miserable, even if they aren't indicted. And I'm sure there's a whole raft of bureaucrats just itching.
I mean, are you even moderately surprised that there's nobody that they haven't cordoned the place off?
Yep. But that said, it opens the door for guys like my buddy on the West Coast to have some fun.
Well, with no cordon there, it's gonna turn into a circus in the snow, isn't it?
I'd be willing to bet there are a few guys in camouflage on the perimeter that are monitoring every move these guys make, and everybody who comes in. So I can't imagine a relief convoy of, armored Humvees showing up with supplies for these people that would actually get through.
No. The people who are getting through are dummies with cardboard boxes and Aunt B's picnic basket with the red checkered napkin across the top.
Hey, I got the outfit. I could show up and deliver them a wonderful supply of X-Lax.
You know, I think they need a huge supply of X-Lax fudge. Eat hearty, me mateys.
That reminds me of a Christmas gift I gave my mom when I was about 9. Didn't know any better.
Hey, Ma, it's chocolate.
Yep. And
such a good boy. Such a loving son.
It had a fairly pejorative effect, but purgative, I should say, not. Well,
I think it was probably pejorative, too. By the way, Tim from L.A. says, these women are probably really strong. You'd be strong, too, if you had to carry dumbbells for 9 months.
Yeah. But as Fats Waller once said, one never knows, do one. Got to carry him to term if they choose to do so. And you take the luck of the draw if you make that choice. Some of them turn out to be geniuses. Most don't.
No, they don't.
Now, I think that these guys are an example of the practice of animal husbandry gone wrong. But in West Virginia, that has a multiplicity of meanings,
Oh, quite.
Well, I'm going to sign off. I've made my meager contribution to the evening.
Well, nothing meager about it, and I always enjoy our conversations. And do please tell the Reverend Craig I said hello.
Tonight I'm talking to his sibling, Bullet.
Ah, yeah. Oh, Bullet, that's his hound, isn't it?
Yeah, it seemed apropos of the evening to drink Bullet 10-year-old, which ain't all that bad.
Isn't that made in Indiana or something?
It's a KDI. It's a bottled, it's a Stitzer Weller concoction. And Stitzer Weller are the stuff of legends in bourbon.
Ooh, yes.
Ooh, I recommend it.
And you know what? I am many things, but I'm prone to taking good advice, Ron.
And the sweetener on top is cheaper than Reverend Craig.
Oh, really?
Yay, verily, son.
And you're being told by Nikki. She says via Twitter, tell Ron in the frozen north to tell his buddy, do it. I'd love to see a stream of that happening live, please.
Oh, no. We're trained professionals. You'll never see it live.
and they'll never know what happened. Yeah.
We were never here.
This did not happen. We were not here. You know nothing.
That's been pointed out to me before, Bob.
I understand.
Usually by family members. In any case, I'm going to sign off. You got a closing to do, I just want to thank you for that inspired choice of music on the break.
It came to me out of the blue. That was the only thing that could have been used.
Yeah. The only thing that would have been better would have been Roland the Headless.
Thompson Gunner? Yes.
Thompson Gunner, yeah.
Yeah, but the opportunity to send lawyers, guns, and Fritos.
Yeah. Okay, have yourself a
all right. See you, Ron.
Take care.
Bye now. Like I said, I have a feeling we're going to be dealing with this dumbass issue for a day or so. But there is other stuff. And I really do. Maybe we'll start the program with it tomorrow. I want to share these two clips from CNN and Fox just because it kind of makes clear what the nature of the problem is. And once again, the for-profit media are out there not helping. Sheesh. So we close with $140 to go to meet Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge. Hopefully that'll happen but in the next 24 hours or so. Okay, 21 hours. Next 21 hours. Thanks one and all for your participation and your emails and your thoughts. It's what makes the community, and it's what makes it all ever so much fun. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you very kindly, John Fox in Australia, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. Yes, indeed. Thanks most of all to all of you who share your precious finite time in this little family community congregation. I have a feeling with Titanic Tuesday tomorrow, the iceberg is going to be especially large. And always, 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 where does the time go? Always, Gina, it's all for you.